Okay, joining me on the line now is Michael McNaughton, who is Director of the Insolvency Service of Ireland, and he's going to outline some of the supports that are available to people who may be in long-term mortgage arrears. Michael, good to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us, because it's a very important discussion to have on air this morning. For those who are in long-term mortgage arrears or are at risk of falling into arrears, it can be a very, very stressful time on them mentally, and it can have an impact on their family life, obviously.
Yeah, indeed, Owen, and thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it is. I mean, research that we've undertaken, and we also get feedback from debtors who we deal with, and they have highlighted, I suppose, the effects of, you know, that kind of situation on their mental health. It can be severe. And it also can prevent them from seeking the help they need in the first place. There's actually a similarity in behaviour patterns of those experiencing problem debt and those with depression. People we've spoken to and who speak to the professionals who provide the service on our behalf, they've spoken about feelings that they have anxiety, they fear. They feel isolated, and there's still that element of shame, but particularly a kind of a loss of control towards their financial situation. And what we're trying to put the message out there is that there is help. There's help out there, and there's a way out of those problems, even the most intractable problems that people think they have.
I think that's the most important thing to outline, because a lot of people might have the perception that if you go into long-term arrears and you owe quite a lot of money, and maybe your mortgage lender is starting to take legal action, that it's the end of the road and there's nothing that can be done about it. But that's not the case.
No, it's not the case. It's never the end of the road, and there's always something that can be done, particularly through our solutions. I mean, and I want to make sure that people know that it's, look, sometimes you read the newspapers and you think it's it deals with people who have, you know, millions of debt, if you know what I mean. It's not. It's for people who have ordinary mortgages. 9 out of 10 insolvency arrangements that deal with mortgages were for mortgages less than 500k, you know, and the average mortgage debt that was dealt with was €271,000. So it's for ordinary people who find themselves in difficulty through no fault of their own. You know, they may have slipped into debt. Every situation is different, but they could have lost their job. They could have their income could have reduced. They could have been ill. They could have been unable to work. There could have been a separation or a divorce or any kind of change in circumstances, and suddenly they find themselves in difficulty. And sometimes that kind of, it rolls, if you like, and gets worse over time if they don't deal with it. So, you know, we've seen what you might consider the most hopeless situations being resolved through an insolvency solution that we provide.
What kind of solutions do you provide then? We've spoken to a number of advisors and personal insolvency practitioners, or PIPs, and I'm thinking of John Lowe, for example. He's been on the programme a number of times. Also, you have the Awalia service, which is operated by MABS together with yourselves as well. But that's only just two. There are more solutions out there.
There are. I mean, what we do is we provide four solutions, and they're for people in all types of different kinds of debt. The most basic one, I suppose, I'll describe them very, very briefly to you, but the most basic one is called what we call a debt relief notice. And that's for people who have, you know, few assets and low income. Now, they won't have a mortgage, but they might have up to €35,000 worth of debt that they can't repay. And that's the solution that deals with that. There's no charge for that. And that's dealt with by an approved intermediary. And as you say, they're mostly based in MABS. So that's the most basic one. The next one is what we call a debt settlement arrangement, a DSA. And that's very similar, but it's for people with unsecured debt as well. But there's no limit on that level. And that is the solution that's dealt with by a PIP, as you say. And then the third one is the one that you see mostly in the newspapers and on the news, etc. And that's called a personal insolvency arrangement, or a PIA. And that's for people who have secured debt. And what I mean by that is people who have mortgages, and they also have unsecured debts that they can't pay. And that's also dealt with by a PIP. And then the final thing, and I won't go into it, is bankruptcy. That's handled by us, but it's a formal High Court process for people in debt who have debts over 20,000, but you have to go through the other three first before, or see if you can qualify for the other three before you go into that. So the three ones are Debt Relief Notice, DRN, Debt Settlement Arrangement, DSA, Personal Insolvency Arrangement, PIA.
Okay, and if anybody listening here is in that situation or knows somebody that's in that situation and says, great, we know now that some solutions are out there and options are available, how do they go about actually contacting the relevant people?
Well, there's a lot of options. I mean, first of all, our advertising campaign really directs people to our website, Back on Track. And that's very easy to read, and it's very easy to navigate, and it'll bring you very quickly through a series of questions to the solution that most suits you. And more importantly, it will have a list of names and addresses and phone numbers that you can talk to. In other words, PIPs. The other thing you can do is talk to people directly in MABS, which is kind of a sister organisation of ours. They're well spread around the country. I think there's a MABS office in nearly every town and large village in the country. And they will talk to you face-to-face. Alternately, if you want to, you'll find a list of PIPs on our website, and there's a few very good PIPs in Kildare. You can talk directly to a PIP. And it's very easy these days. You know, you don't necessarily have to go and sit in their office. You can talk to them over Zoom you'll feel your way through what they might be able to offer. And what I would say, particularly for people in mortgage arrears, there is financial support out there for you. It's a scheme called Awalia. So if you are in arrears, you will qualify for a free consultation with a PIP. And that's the first consultation where they will sit you down. They will tell you what to have for that meeting. You know, they might ask for details of your income. They might ask you to bring in some bank statements and other material that they will go through. They'll talk to you and they'll assess your situation. And they will then examine your circumstances. They'll explain your options and they'll recommend the best solution. And you know, if you opt for one of our solutions, then they apply for what we call a protector certificate. And that's very important because that gives you legal protection until an arrangement is put in place. And more importantly, for people who find themselves stressed by this situation, creditors can't contact you during that period. And over that time, the PIP will draft your proposal, then meet your creditors. And once they agree it, they'll apply to court to have formally approved. And it works by you paying a percentage of it over a period of time. When the last payment is made, then your debt is permanently restructured. That's how it works, very simply.
You mentioned at the very start as well the guilt or the shame that may be felt around this. And I understand when we're talking about money, it's not the easiest thing to come out and say, I can't pay it back, or I'm in debt, or I owe a lot of money. But with these PIPs and with MABS and with yourselves at the Insolvency Service, trained professionals who have seen it time and time again, and there's going to be no judgment or anything like that.
I can assure you, they have seen everything. If you've seen our advertisement on TV, you know, we've done a lot of research into it. And it feels for a person like life is kind of unraveling. It puts pressure on their relationships. They don't want to talk about it. And they kind of bury their head in the sand. They just don't want to deal with it. Whereas we say, if you take that first step and talk to somebody, you'll feel an immediate sense of relief because you'll know then that there is a way out of this thing. And you know, just in terms of if anybody wants some statistics, I mean, if you take out that protective certificate, okay, which is a first step on the road to a PIA, our stats show that you have a 70% likelihood of getting an arrangement. And that is improving all the time because, you know, our PIPs and you know, they deal with their creditors, every day, and those relationships are getting better and better, and they're coming up with all sorts of innovation in terms of solutions. So the chance or the probability of getting a solution is very high, and I would just encourage people to take that first step.
We're going to give out some phone numbers and websites in a moment that offer great help and great solutions for people as well. But I just want to touch on something, Michael, that I know you'd be aware of. Loan sharks and money lenders often can be seen as a quick fix for people, but I can't stress enough how much people should stay away from them.
They should avoid them. There are a lot of supports out there provided by the government for people who are in trouble with debt. But I think that, you know, if you have trouble with debt is usually because you have too much debt in the first place. And therefore, I would just encourage people, and particularly in those circumstances where they find themselves talking to loan sharks, that debt relief notice that I've just talked about is a very, very simple and straightforward solution. They should talk to our colleagues in MABS who are very, very experienced at doing it. It's a simple, if you like, solution. You know, you give them the information. If you meet certain criteria, which you would likely be if you're talking to loan sharks, you will get a DRN, and that will kind of, it will write off your debt, and you go into a kind of a period of 2 or 3 years while, you know, your kind of circumstances are supervised, etc. And after that 3 years, those debts are written off, and you have a fresh start, if you like, is what we like to say.
All right. Well, listen, let's give out some of those phone numbers. But for the moment, Michael McNaughton, very important discussion this morning, Director of the Insolvency Service of Ireland. Thanks for joining us. You can get more information on its website, www.backontrack.ie. That's backontrack.ie. There's also a number you can call, 01 7644 200. That's 01 7644 200. And then in relation to the MABS offices here in Kildare, there are two offices in the county, in Newbridge and in Kilcock. So the number for the Newbridge MABS office, which stands for Money Advice and Budgeting Service, is 0818 072 600. So 0818 072 600. And then the Kilcock office is 0818 072 590. 0818 072 590. And more information over on www.mabs.ie. And again, as Michael has outlined, it can be very, very difficult when you're in that situation to see through the cobwebs that might be over your eyes, and you might not see where there's going to be any light at the end of the tunnel. But make that first call, talk about it, open up about it, and it will get easier. A few of the messages that are coming in to us, and this one is from Tom Redmond, Sinn Féin rep down in Athy. He says, I'm dealing with many people with PIAs that Pepper are not recognising. Many people, one family in Castledermot had an arrangement to pay £500 a month. Their mortgage was sold and it's not being recognised in the court every other month. Sadly, we lost MABS in a tie and not a peep from the elected people. The people who use these services are often too embarrassed to raise these issues in public, never mind fight for the office to stay open. That comes in from Tom Redmond. Another one here says, good morning, I've paid up my mortgage. How long should it take to get the deeds? I'm ringing them, the mortgage lender, for the last 4 months. Still no deeds and no call back. Every time if I owed them money, I would get letters and calls, no problem. What's my next step? My solicitor has already contacted them as well. Why are they holding on to the deeds? I wouldn't be too sure on that, and I couldn't really advise you as to what to do. What I would say is keep on to your solicitor. Your solicitor is the one who'll be able to, you know, put the pressure on the mortgage lender. So I would be hounding the solicitor to try and get those deeds if everything is in order. Lots more coming up after the break, including that public meeting taking place in Allan Wood, where the Allan Wood Community Group is raising issues such as road safety and sewerage issues in the village next Monday.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Well, next Monday evening at 8 o'clock in Glennon's, the Allan Wood Community Group are hosting a public meeting to discuss some of the issues that are concerning residents there in Allan Wood. And joining me on the line now is Chair of the Community Group, Peg Regan. Peg, good morning to you and thanks for taking our call. Just, I suppose, let's start off with some of the main issues that are going to be discussed at this meeting on Monday. What's the number one issue out there?
Well, presently the number one issue on is traffic calming. such as what we have at the moment is only pedestrian cam and sort of thing, and we have been for quite a number of years looking for to get in the proper, as I call them, signal lights. We've tried and been trying. I just looking at where we had a protest march back in 2004. We're going back that far due to the same issue. We still are getting that money from our councillors when we meet with them. We're getting still nothing, only plans being drawn up, blah, 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 sort of thing. And we're still no further on. So that is our main issue. We've had a lot of minor issues, as being people knocked down by cars, children to the extent coming out of schools, parents having to go down to the pedestrian crossing where it is and make sure that the children are getting across safely because they're breaking the lights, the motorists and everything else. We have a huge volume of traffic on the R403, but we still seem, as I said, we keep asking and asking and asking, when is this going to happen? When is it going to be fixed up? But we're still getting nowhere.
And Peg, on that, a lot of residents in Allan Wood will say that for the last 20 years, it's been growing and growing and growing. So there's now more cars, more people. And as you say, it's a very busy road between Carberry and Prosperous, or if people are going on to Eden Derry, etc. So there's a lot of traffic through Allan Wood.
Absolutely. It's huge, especially at school times and people going home to and from work, let's say, early morning, mid-afternoon, around 9 o'clock when the children are going to school. It's massive. It's unbelievable, the amount of traffic we have here on the roads.
So what you're looking for is more signals, more pedestrian crossings. There are some around Allan Wood Cross, but not enough.
Yes, we don't have the proper, as I call it, signal lights, which we're fighting to get, as in, I call them the arrows. People coming off the Newbridge, Larry Mullen Road, the Power Station Road, you're taking your life in your hands coming off those roads. The Power Station Road at the moment is busy road as well, with HGVs and with the creche. You have acted there as well, like other businesses. So what they're doing now is when they're coming off the back road out onto the R403 at the crossroads, they're taking turning left onto the R403, going down towards the spa shop. And if you want to get out onto the Derry Mullen Road, they're taking out to the shop yard onto the Derry Mullen Road. Like, it's a crazy situation at the moment.
That's one issue, road safety in Allan Wood, that you're going to be talking about at this public meeting on Monday. Another issue that is quite big there is sewerage. And I understand that Irish Water are not connecting any more houses because the sewerage can't, and the system can't handle it.
No, it can't handle it. Can't handle it. It's unbelievable. And the odour from that during the summer is colossal. Absolutely dreadful. We've had complaints to the extent that people have had to go to the doctors with their children with the smell. They were even getting sick in their houses. Although the tanks are being, the buffer tanks as they call them, are being emptied on an average of 12 plus a week, which is costing an absolute fortune. For every time a tank is emptied, about 2 years ago, we were in touch with Irish Water. And also the people that empties the tanks, which is buying waste. And at that time, 2 years ago, to empty one buffer tank, as they call them, was €800. That was inflation. I'm sure that has possibly maybe risen to maybe over 1,000.
There's been lots of new houses built out in Allan Wood, though, Peg, hasn't there? So are they all being connected to this system as well?
Yes, roughly, I'd say there's well over 300 new houses in a very small radius all around the cross. The original system was only capable of taking much sewage, and it has never been upgraded. The sewage is even coming into some of the new housing, their houses. in the housing estate.
Well, I suppose what you want then is answers, Peg, and you've invited the Clane Municipal District County Councillors to this meeting next Monday.
Yes, we have invited them. We do have the matter meetings, and that's the only way we haven't getting updates, but they don't seem to be getting the answers either. The council don't want to even hear about it at times. That's what we've been told. You don't bring it up. There's nothing. The sewage has nothing got to do with the council. It's Irish Water or they're calling themselves Ishkin, whatever they're calling themselves now. We're in no man's land. We're just at a wit's end to know when, how, or where, or when is this all going to be cleared and fixed up.
The area of Allen Wood, as I was mentioning there when we were talking about the traffic, getting busier, more houses, more people coming in.
Yes.
The school and everything, is that all full at the minute, Peg?
Well, yes. Yeah, I'd say roughly, I'd say you could have possibly maybe between boys and girls that you would have up to probably 900 pupils in them. And even they are, like, at their wit's end as well, classes and everything, as I said, I just don't know what's going to happen at all. Nobody seems to be listening or taking notes, but where it's going to, who's going to fix it up? We're thinking of going out on the roads again and going public with it. So, as I said, it's terrible. It's unbelievable.
Is Allen Wood often affected by that burst pipe that keeps bursting there at the hill of Allen?
No, don't talk about that. That is, get up in the morning, go fill the kettle for a cup of tea, no water in the tank, no notifications, no nothing. We can't use the water really out of that at the moment. Like, not as to drink, in other words.
All right, this meeting then next Monday, 8 o'clock in Glennon's, is it open to the public for anybody around Allen Wood?
Yes, it's open to the community and the wider community if possible. And anyone is very welcome to attend. And the councillors, hopefully, we will have them there and try and get something. We're actually fed up on of this whole situation. Because like I said to you prior, we are not getting anywhere.
Well, hopefully the meeting on Monday will be constructive. 8 o'clock in Glennon's pub there on the main street in Allen Wood. And it's being hosted by the local community group there. Chair of that group, Allen Wood Community Group, is Peg Regan. Peg, thanks for joining us this morning and a very good morning to you.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, shortly we're going to be talking to Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader Sports Editor, looking ahead to the weekend sporting action, and a busy weekend it is as well. The hurlers playing tomorrow, and then on Sunday the senior footballers, both men and women, the under 20 hurlers playing tonight, minor footballers playing tomorrow, and the minor camogie side are in an All-Ireland final as well, and wrap that around local club fixtures as well, which are being played tomorrow. It's very hectic. I want to go to Kildare Town though, because on the line is Leslie Duffy and Denise MacDonald of Kildare Town AFC, because they're continuing their fundraising appeal for a new AstroTurf pitch, a 4G Astro as well, just to be clear on that. Leslie and Denise, welcome to the programme. Tell us first of all, Leslie, we might start off with you, I suppose, when all of this started and why you feel as though the club needs a 4G AstroTurf pitch.
Well, Owen, thanks for having us here today. Before last September, we realised the club was at full capacity. And with that, we knew we had to do something to make the area we had more effective. So in doing that, we got a guy out there, and a 4G Astro would allow us to have more capacity within the club. Kildare's population has exceeded 11,000 people, and 40% of those are under 25. The town lacks sufficient amenities, so to support the growing population, we decided that we would need a 4G Astro pitch.
What about funding for it then? Have you received any central funding or is it all being done through fundraisers?
Currently, we've had four fundraisers, which have been fantastic so far. So big thanks to everybody who has supported us, all businesses, through sponsors and have actually helped us. And we're going to have, for the rest of the year, we have a calendar full of fundraisers. And one which is our World Cup Soccer Blitz, which is being held June the 29th, Derby weekend. It's going to be a fun, fun day for all of the kids. But again, it's a fundraiser, so we're hoping to get all people involved.
And Denise, just to go to you, as Leslie has outlined, this is much needed for the town of Kildare Town because I know at present the club is essentially at capacity and some teams are finding it hard to train, so you need the extra facility.
Yes, currently with weather conditions, it significantly impact our ability to train and play matches. So a 4G Astro would allow year-round training and matches. It would enable us to increase the capacity where three teams playing or training simultaneously during any given hour. And we believe that this would also increase our income significantly.
Okay, what about sponsorship then? We talked about the funding. Do you still need some more sponsorship and maybe a main sponsor to come on board?
We do. We definitely need a main sponsor to come on board. So if there's any sponsors out there who would like to support a football club, Kildare Town AFC would be greatly appreciated.
And the Astro is just kind of one part of this project. I know you're looking at, or certainly hoping for, a new pedestrian entrance on the Ratbride Road and then maybe a walking track around.
We are. We're hoping for the pedestrian entrance. This would really significantly help with the town. All the kids could actually walk to the club without, safely. And this would be great for the club, really. And it would stop parking around the club. It would also reduce our carbon footprint. The local children won't need to be driven to anymore. They can just walk to the club, which will be safety as first for us, obviously.
Exactly, and that's all part of the fundraising as well, to try and get that AstroTurf pitch in and to get the new pedestrian entrance as well. So if anybody, Denise, finally is listening and wants to help out with some funding, or if there's a main sponsor that wants to get involved, how can they contact you? What's the best way to do it?
They could contact us by email. Our Leslie's email is duffy.leslie@gmail.com.
duffy.leslie@gmail.com. I'm just writing it down here. And Leslie is spelled L-E-S-L-E-Y. How far along are you at the moment, if you don't mind me asking, in terms of fundraising? How much further do you have to go?
We've raised €530,000. We've applied for a sports capital grant and a few other grants as well. So the sports capital grant, we're hoping within the next few weeks we should hear word to see what that is. We had the Minister for Sports down at the club. We've had the Ciarán Cóirle down at the club. They're all there. They've endorsed us and they've given us letters of support. They know the importance of our project and what it would do for the club, for the town of Kildare. Because not only our members come to our club, non-members come and use the club facility as well. The martial arts group, the boxing group, the cycling group. So we are a football club for all, really. And yeah, last year, our women's team, even though we haven't got the facilities, came on board and they've been training ever since. So there's a lot of people in our club dependent on the football club for their after school sports. And we believe that a 4G Astro in Kildare Town will help.
Well, look, we wish you the very best of luck with it. I'm sure we'll talk closer to the time to maybe that fundraiser that you're having in June, and anything else that we can give you a dig out, we're more than happy to do that. Leslie Duffy and Denise MacDonald of Kildare Town AFC, thanks for joining us as they continue their fundraising appeal for a new AstroTurf pitch. And a big shout out to all the players and managers down and volunteers at Kildare Town AFC on the Ratbride Road. There's another another message came in to us. We were talking to Peg Regan a bit earlier on there about some of the issues in Allan Wood, and Roseanne has come in to say it's the speed that people go through the cross. Absolutely, it needs lights. I had a car accident a few weeks ago there because of the speed, says Roseanne. And again, that public meeting happening on Monday evening, 8 o'clock in Glennon's of Allan Wood. Tommy Callaghan, Leinster Leader Sports Editor, is with me on the line now because it's another busy weekend on the local GAA scene. Morning to you, Tommy, and good to speak to you again. And we'll start off with the footballers on Sunday against Louth. And if we can, look back against that game against Wicklow, where they really got out of jail, made it very hard for themselves to get into the Leinster semi-final. But they're here now, and it's going to be another tough test against Louth on Sunday.
Absolutely, Owen. Another big test on the way. Listen, I thought they played well enough in the second half for a while. The problem is they played with a strong wind in the first half that day, and they only led by a couple of points at half time. And they looked in trouble because there was a strong breeze. And but in fairness to them, I thought Kildare worked extremely hard. They were down to 14 men, don't forget. And I thought they worked very, very hard, and they looked to have the game kind of wrapped up until that last couple of minutes, most of it in extra time, the penalty, and then the Wicklow had a golden chance to seal it. It would have been, I thought it would have been very, very hard on Kildare, but I just said to myself at that stage when we were going through that, here we go again. Just not getting any luck either, apart from maybe not playing as well as they can. But maybe that could be the break that might just spur them on Sunday. But look, it's not going to be easy. Louth have already a win under their belt. They're a good side. They're well managed. Ger Brennan is doing a good job with them, a very good job with them actually. And they'd be, I won't say they'd be cocky, but they'd be confident enough coming into it.
The Kildare team has been named, Tommy. Mark Donlan in goals. Fullback line, Ryan Burke, Shea Ryan, Mick O'Grady. Halfback line, Jack Sargent, Owen Doyle, Paddy McDermott. Centre field, Aaron Masterson and Alex Byrne. Half forward line, Paddy Woodgate, Niall Kelly and Shane Farrell. And the full forward line, Kevin Feely, Dara Kerwin and Daniel Flynn. What do you make of that starting 15, Tommy?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more or less along the lines as expected, because two or three subs last day were used due to injuries, and Mick O'Grady in particular, and Daniel Flynn and Brian Byrne came on and had to go off late in the second half, all injured. But good to see that they're all fit enough, obviously enough to have to be named. And another plus, I see Kevin O'Callaghan is named in the subs. Aaron O'Neill, injured last week playing for Carberry, and his place has gone to Barry Coffey on the bench. But overall, I mean, there's only the one change really. That's Alex Byrne is moved to midfield, and Paddy Woodgate comes in at number 10. So it's probably the strongest team that Kildare have at the minute. The defence are fairly settled. I thought Wicklow did open up the defence a bit the last day. They could have had even before Wicklow had that really good spell near the end, they did threaten a few times, and it's something that Kildare have to be wary of, because when you're talking about Louth, you're talking about a couple of very good forwards there. You're talking about Cairdan Downey. He scored two goals against Wexford the last day, and Sam Mulroy didn't score from open play, but he scored two penalties and four frees, and I don't think he scored actually from play in the league match, but he scored 4 or 5 points as well. So I think it's the team as named is probably along expected lines, and it's just a matter of going out now and having the belief. Not conceding nearly is vital. It's going to be vital, because Kildare's confidence. Just don't forget, one win in 8 matches, and that was by 1 point against Wicklow, Division 4 team. So they need to come out with all guns firing, you know, and put Louth under pressure.
Worth remembering that Louth beat Kildare in the league earlier in the season, and a couple of years ago, going into this fixture, Kildare would have been favourites, but Louth are actually favourites for this match, Tommy.
Yeah, no, and understandably so. I mean, Louth retained a Division 2 status. Clare didn't win a match, same league, same division. You know, I mean, it's very understandable why Louth are favourites, and they're favourites rightly so. And hopefully, just saying the bookies get it wrong. They don't get it wrong that often, but hopefully they will. But don't forget also that Louth are going for back-to-back Leinster final appearances. You know, I mean, they're not just a Johnny-come-lately team. They're in the final last year now. They got a hiding, as Kildare did the previous year and the previous year to that. So, I mean, it's Louth are there. They're there on merit. They're well organised. They have a good, decent midfield. They have the good attackers, but from a Kildare point of view, I think our team is fairly settled, even though there's no doubt about Kevin Flynn will be a huge loss. But Alex, it'd be interesting how Alex was in the midfield. Aaron Mastin is playing well over the last number of 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought Paddy Woodgate had a right good game when he came on. He was on and off a couple of times with Gluck replacing Kevin Feely before he eventually came on and Daniel Flynn was forced off. Hopefully we get a bit more from Derek Kirby on the scoreboard point of view. Kevin Feely is probably in his ideal position up there on the full forward line. He can drop back out to midfield when needed, especially for kickouts and things like that. And hopefully we don't see anyone goalkeepers wandering up the field like we did the last day. It's something that I just goes my head in.
Full commentary here on KFM on Sunday, 1:45 throw in, and that's all in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. Tomorrow, Tommy, 1:00, the Hurlers are out in the Christy Ring Cup against Derry. 2 wins from 2 so far. The team named Paddy McKenna in goals, full back line Cormac Byrne, Mark Grace and Simon Lacey, half back line Paul Dolan, Conan Boren and Ryan Boren, centre field Cathal McCabe, Dara Geeran, half forward line is Dara Melville, David Qualter and Con Keogh, and the full forward line, Murish Curtin, Jack Sheridan, Mark Delaney. Should be 3 wins from 3 tomorrow, Tommy.
You'd be hoping for it. It won't be the case what a lot of people might think. Derry have two wins under the belt. Kildare are missing James Burke. James Burke is out injured. He pulled a hamstring against Wicklow the last day, last weekend. I was at that match. I didn't think Kildare played particularly well for long periods. They were never going to lose the game. They led 1-11 to 8 points at half time. I'd say they got a bit of a rollicking at half time from Brian Dowland, their manager. Much improved showing in the second half. They brought on a couple of subs, and in fairness, the subs that came on did well. David Quarter scored 3 points. Dara Melville scored 2, and both of these are starting on Saturday. So. You'd be expecting Kildare to win it, but it's a match that if they come in this one, they'll be well on their way, because of a tricky one away to London coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But Derry will come with all guns blazing, and hopefully Kildare can withstand that. And with Jack Sheridan and Dara Geeran both to midfield in that one too. Overall, the only. See Simon Lacey moved back to cornerback. God, the only player Simon hasn't played, I think, must be in goals at the minute. But overall, I think it's a strong Kildare team, and they're playing well. They're just not converting enough of their chances, and if they can do that, they should have plenty in hand.
The women are playing Meath on Sunday, round 2 of Leinster.
Yeah, the ladies, look, we said it here last week, we knew they were up against it last weekend against Dublin. Leinster and All Ireland champions. And that's the way it turned out. They had a big blow before the match with Roisin Byrne being ruled out with a hamstring. These hamstrings, they're just to no end. It doesn't matter, male or female, hamstrings are hamstrings. Oh, I'm not sure if Roisin will be fit for this weekend. But again, this is another big test. Meath are probably looked upon as the second strongest team in Leinster at the minute. And they won their first match against Leash, as you'd expect them to win. But I'd imagine Kildare would have been kind of targeting this one. Maybe you'd expect them to beat Leash, so they were probably targeting this main match on Sunday. And if they can regain their scoring form, Meath are good, but they wouldn't be up to the Dublin standard. So, I mean, they'll be going in. And one thing about them, a few interviews there after that match, the positivity that some of the girls, when they interviewed afterwards, you know, they weren't down in the dumps after taking a bit of a hiding. They were very, very positive. You know, this is where we want to be. We want to test ourselves against top teams. And that's the way it should be. And it'd be very interesting to see. And hopefully it would be a big boost if they could get over the line against Meath.
Yeah, and that's where Kildare want to be, playing against the best teams, Dublin, Meath, etc. Tommy Callaghan, if you're out in the golf course the weekend, mind that hamstring with the swing as well. Make sure you look after yourself. Listen, Leinster Leader Sports Editor, thanks indeed for joining us, Tommy. Have a good weekend. And don't forget, this evening, 6:30, Kildare Weekend Sports Preview. We'll look ahead to all the weekend sporting action, GAA, soccer, rugby, horse racing, and much more. And then Sports Beat Saturday and Sports Beat Sunday will have updates of all of those games across the weekend.